tuned to Sunday Papers, Free Radio, 101 FM, freakradio.org. Robert has almost left the building. Coming up, we got some news coming out of the Gaza Strip. George has been doing a bunch of coverage of that yesterday, and I got a whole bunch more today. And we'll be starting with an update from Al Jazeera from just about an hour ago. So stay tuned. Free Radio, 101 FM, freakradio.org.
Nine days, 507 Palestinians killed, more than 2,400 injured. And a quarter of those killed are civilians, according to the United Nations. Those are the figures. Hospitals at breaking point, families devastated, people forced from their homes with nowhere to go. That is the reality of Israel's war on Gaza. Al Jazeera is the only international broadcaster with a presence there. Shireen Tadros is on our team in Gaza. This is her latest report from the epicenter of Gaza's struggle to survive, its main hospital.
A mother lying next to her two young children for a final few minutes. Another family lost because of Israel's assault of Gaza. The sound of death resonated through Shifa Hospital. Israel insists it's fighting Hamas, but it is the innocent that are falling here. The hospital is inundated. Hundreds of people versus limited supplies. While the killings continue, Israel closes Gaza's borders to the outside. Essential medicine is not allowed in, and nobody is allowed out.
This genocide crime should stop, okay? What is going on is a genocide, and it is a shame to the international community to keep silent on this mass killing.
Umma Ahmed came to find her son. I think he's dead, she told me, but I'm just not sure. We followed her as she tried to find out more news. With no electricity, televisions are not working, and phone networks are jammed. The only way people can find out what's happened to their loved ones is to turn up at the hospitals. Umma Ahmed found the rest of her family standing outside the morgue. They confirmed her worst fear. Another mother loses her son, another sister in pain, and another family torn apart because of Israel's war. The people of Gaza are in mourning for their dead, but they know that Israel hasn't finished with them yet. As the assault continues to widen, the effects are being felt right here by mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, and friends. And long after this war is over, the pain and suffering Israel has caused here will be visible on the faces of those who were spared. Shireen Tadros, Al Jazeera, at the Shifa Hospital in Gaza City.
Well, to get some more insight on the conditions of Gaza's hospitals, joining me now on the line from Gaza City is Dr. Musa Al-Haddad from Ashifa Hospital. Thank you very much for joining us. It seems as if the challenges facing you at Ashifa Hospital are like no other.
Yes, it is. It is a very difficult situation, especially under conditions like ours, where there is no, almost the medicines are running out, no spare parts for equipment, generators are half not working and no spare parts for them, with all the borders are closed and the siege that was imposed in Gaza for the last at least 2 months, if not more. Now, everything and everybody is targeted. Anything that moves would be a target.
Dr. Al-Haddad, sorry to interrupt you. Who are the patients? If I had to ask you, Who exactly are your the predominant number of your patients? Who's the majority of your patients? Who would you say they are?
Well, I didn't know what you mean. The majority of the majority are civilians. 10% of the patients are children. 10% of the deaths are children, and 5% of all the injured and the dead are women. So far, we had for the last 9 days, we had 510 deaths, 2,500 injuries. Many of those are severe injuries with a loss of limb or more.
You've been a consultant to the hospital for a long, long time, and no doubt you've had a long career. In all your time consulting with Ashifa and, of course, working in the medical field in Gaza, a place that's no stranger to conflict, is this the worst it's ever been?
Yes, I've never seen anything like this. It's the worst. And as I mentioned before, nobody feels safe, young, old, woman, man, or anything, anybody.
What's the morale of the hospital workers, the paramedics, the medics, the doctors? Are they disillusioned or are they still optimistic as they go on with their jobs?
Well, everyone is doing his best. This evening, three paramedics were killed. A fourth were injured when they were trying to help people after an attack.
If you had to mention three or four items that are your top priority at Ashifa Hospital, what would you say they are?
Well, medicine now, as I said, almost 90% of the medicines are out of stock now. Equipments, medical equipments that are highly needed, starting even from gauze up to highly specific ones. And, of course, electricity that LICUs and ICUs are dependent on.
Dr. Musa Al-Haddad, a retired surgeon and consultant at Ashifa Hospital, thank you very much for speaking to us over the phone from Gaza.
And that was the latest news coming out of Gaza as of about an hour ago. Right now, I want to play what happened yesterday when the ground assault actually started the offensive. So here's another story from Al Jazeera. Free Radio 101 FM, freakradio.org.
A few hours after Israel launched its ground offensive in Gaza, explosions just north of Gaza City. After 8 days of airstrikes, Israeli troops are now inside the Palestinian territory, pounding targets with tank shells, as well as bombs and missiles. But already it's counting its own casualties. These soldiers were wounded in the first hours of the ground operation and evacuated to the southern Israeli city of Beersheba. Gazans woke on Sunday to plumes of smoke above their homes, a chilling sign that Israel's Operation Cast Lead is now into its second phase. Israel says its mission is to shut down Hamas.
Our aim is to force Hamas to stop its hostile activities against Israel and Israelis from Gaza.
Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's cabinet has given the Israeli military permission to call up as many army reservists as it needs, which could number in the tens of thousands.
We are not war hungry, but we shall not, I repeat, we shall not allow a situation where our towns, villages, and civilians are constantly targeted by Hamas. It will not be easy or short, but we are determined.
Hamas says it has already inflicted casualties on Israel's ground forces.
Your incursion into the Gaza Strip will not be a picnic. It will not be a picnic. Gaza will be your graveyard. Wait, for tomorrow, you will see you have no other option but to stop the aggression and end the siege without any conditions. You will not feel secure until our people feel secure.
We've spent days now in fear. We can't sleep. Our children are terrified. I ask for the international community, the Arabs, the world, to stand with us in this war.
Israeli officials say they're only targeting Hamas leaders, its headquarters, and buildings used for storing weapons. But scores of civilians have been killed in the Gaza Strip.
Why hit a home with 20 people inside with no warning? What can be the reason for hitting civilians? Is this a war against us?
I'm also a civilian, and I don't keep in my basement a barrage of rockets and a storage for rockets. Neither do my neighbors. But you can see many civilians using their houses for launching sites, for storing weapons, and so on. This situation cannot go on.
Both sides have declared they're prepared for a long battle, but they've also said they would prefer peace. For now, though, Israel and Hamas seem intent on continuing the cycle of violence. Hannah Belcher, Al Jazeera.
Nighttime comes and everybody wonders, will tomorrow bring the light of day? Will our house be rubble blown asunder? In the cellar we will hide ourselves and pray. Will the smoke clear in the morning? Will the city all go down in flames? Will the factory be standing? Will life here ever be the same? There's terror in the skies of this city. Fear is in the hearts of children, women, and men. And you never see the faces of the killers as the smart bombs fall again. Will there be a job for me to go to? Will there be food upon my plate? After so many years of hungry sanctions, what did my child do to earn this fate? There's terror in the skies of this city. Fear is in the hearts of children, women, and men. And you never see the faces of the killers as the smart bombs fall again. Talk of Gaza and of Algiers. They wring their hands when Irish shoppers die. But if you want to know a life of terror, look up at night into the Baghdad sky. There's terror in the skies of this city. Fear is in the hearts of children, women, and men. And you never see the faces of the killers as the smart bombs fall again.
Free Radio, 101 FM, freakradio.org. David Robux there. I got audio interview here from Rami Al-Maghari on the latest in Gaza from Sunday, January 4th, 2009. And this comes to us courtesy of IMEMC, www.imemc.org. And the Al Jazeera stuff you can watch actually live Al Jazeera at their English page, which is english.aljazeera.net/.
So the latest update on, from Gaza, actually, is the warning of the halt of communications, telecommunications tools and means here in the Gaza Strip, because there has been report that these communications has been targeted by the Israeli shelling, which is underway here on the ground since for the past 3 hours, maybe. Also, there are increasing casualties among the civilians because of these attacks, ground offensive on the Gaza Strip. At least 4 people have been reportedly killed, and more than 10 others have been injured during this new fresh ground offensive, ground attacks on the Gaza Strip. News reports say that the Israeli infantry troops are advancing slowly into the area, which is really due to what has been reported, a sort of resistance by the Hamas fighters and other resistance fighters in the Gaza Strip. The homemade rocket fire continues into nearby Israeli towns, despite the Israeli ground offensive and the air strikes from the air on different targets in the Gaza Strip for the time being. While I'm speaking to you, I have just heard a sort of bombing nearby, Israeli bombing and air strikes nearby. Also, witnesses told that... Now 3 other Palestinians have been reported killed. As I'm really just talking with you, 3 other Palestinians and also a woman have been killed by the Israeli airstrikes. Also, there is a casualty on the Israeli side, 1 casualty out of this homemade rocket fire on Israeli towns. I was just speaking to you before this breaking that the resistance fighters, the resistance groups in Gaza are attempting to defend the Israeli infantry troops that are entering the Gaza Strip tonight from different axes, actually, from the northern parts, from the Shija'iyah neighborhood in eastern Gaza City, as well as from southern Rafah City. As I have just been told that Israeli tanks shelled completely the abandoned international Gaza airport, destroying the watchtower of this airport, and also they are advancing in slow paces into the Rafah area from the Kerem Shalom or Kerem Abu Salem commercial crossing. To the east of Rafah City, to the southeast of Rafah City. That's the situation really on the ground, as witnesses told also that the Israeli tanks fire cannons, fire bombs from the eastern parts of Gaza in the central Gaza Strip into the Gaza City. So which is indicating that Israel is enlarging its military offensives or military attacks on the Gaza Strip in some sort of an all-out war against Palestinians here in Gaza. And let me just mention to you that despite the Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip, there was a press conference that was aired by on Hamas-linked TV, Al-Aqsa TV, in which Hamas spokesperson, they are defending their lands and they are sticking to what they are to sticking to their right to resist or to exist. That was the speech of the spokespersons of Hamas today tonight on Hamas TV.
Right now, is there any clashes between the resistance fighters and the invading Israeli forces?
There have been reports about the clashes between the Palestinian resistance fighters and the Israeli invading troops. Also, reports said that Hamas fighters have killed a number of Israeli soldiers. And this is really a sort of news that has been aired for the past 15 minutes, that Hamas fighters have killed some Israeli soldiers who are invading some parts of Gaza at the time, at the moment.
Can you give us latest information about the number of casualties among the Palestinians?
Yeah, the number of casualties are really getting high, and they're difficult to catch for the time being. there are casualties from in every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes, there are casualties. Now the number of casualties can be at least 7 or 8 people, including 4 in the Beit Hanun area north in Gaza Strip, and also 3 others in the eastern Gaza Strip, including a woman. 2 of those killed were children as well. So the casualties among civilians are incredibly high, while the Israeli invading troops are advancing slowly into parts of Gaza. Due to what reports say, a very severe resistance by the resistance fighters, Hamas or other groups, resistance groups, armed factions here in the Gaza Strip.
In total, generally, how many Palestinians were killed since the offensive started, and what's the number of wounded?
Including those of today, those of tonight, the number of people killed is 467, while those injured has reached more than 2,300 others, including more than 300 in critical conditions. Also, more than 25% of those killed were women and children. Hamas says that only few fighters, a few Hamas people have been killed by the Israelis over the past through the past days, which means that many of those killed were Palestinian civilians, whether in their homes, just located near mosques, or Hamas-linked institutions and centers that have been so far targeted by the Israeli air raids.
Rami, what do you expect will happen in the coming hours? Do you think that troops will advance more into the Gaza Strip?
I believe that Israelis are determined to, because of their many reports on the Israeli media outlets suggesting that the Israeli troops, the Israeli army, is keeping up on its offensive against Gaza until what they say, what they call the goals of Israel out of these attacks are achieved and are seen. Today, the Israeli defense minister spoke in a briefing about the start of the ground invasion. He was quoted as saying that the Israeli army actions in Gaza will continue, will be for a long time, for a few days to come, and that they will end the operations until the residents of nearby Israeli towns live in quiet and peace, which means that Israel, which indicates that Israel is keeping up in its operations until they undermine grossly and vehemently the Palestinian resistance groups here in Gaza because of what Israel has always claimed, a continuation of homemade rocket fire from Gaza into nearby Israeli towns. I have a breaking right now that Hamas sources say that a number of Israeli soldiers have been wounded during clashes in the northern Beit Lahia town.
So that's breaking news coming right now. Thank you, Rami.
With Israel's ground offensive into Gaza has come accelerated diplomacy to end the conflict. Hit by claims his government hasn't done enough, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown called for the violence to stop.
We need an immediate ceasefire. The blame game can continue afterwards, but this dangerous moment, I think, requires us to act.
The blame game saw fingers pointed at Brown and other European governments on Saturday when anti-war protesters across Europe expressed outrage at what they perceive as Israel's free hand in Gaza. Western governments, they demanded, need to speak out. Gordon Brown is now attempting to do so.
And there's no real pressure on the Israelis.
Oh, yes, there is.
Why would they stop now?
Because they know that there is a problem about where it all stops. They know that there is an international pressure. Look, what is the basis of an agreement between Palestine and Israel? Let's be honest about the basis. The basis is that Israel needs to be secure within its own borders, Otherwise, there won't be an agreement. And the Palestinians need to have the, if you like, the ability to have a viable state.
In the meantime, as fighting in the Gaza Strip intensifies, pressure is being maintained here on the streets of London. These are demonstrators outside the Israeli embassy. They've been here every day since the attacks began.
We want to express our anger and frustration against the silence of the international community, seeing the killing in Gaza and doing nothing.
And demonstrators at the Israeli ambassador's residence as well. Smaller in number, these are Jews protesting Israel's actions. Israel's security, they say, will not be served by war.
This is an unnecessary war that won't bring peace. You know, they are holding the lives of the inhabitants of southern Israel hostage, and they are treating them as expendable, just as they are treating Palestinian lives as expendable.
But the Israeli government believes war is now the only way to guarantee security, and Palestinian factions are prepared to fight. International diplomacy, with the EU in particular heading to the region on Sunday, will seek to convince the parties otherwise. Jonah Hull, Al Jazeera, London.
Foreign ministers from seven Arab nations, as well as the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, will meet at the United Nations in New York on Monday to press their case. But if history is any guide, the Security Council will likely side with Israel. Kristen Salumi explains.
In 1947, an infant United Nations recommended dividing British-controlled Palestine into two states, roughly equal in size. One would be Arab, the other Jewish. But when the UN officially recognized the State of Israel in 1949...
And I therefore formally declare Israel admitted to membership in the United Nations.
It was along much broader borders. The boundaries have been contested by both sides ever since. And despite wars, truces, and resolutions, the question of the Middle East remains one of the UN's most intractable issues. Jewish settlements continue to be built on Palestinian land despite Security Council Resolution 446, which called for their end in 1976. Israel continues building a giant wall to cage in the West Bank despite a 2004 ruling of the International Court of Justice, which declared it illegal.
Israel has looked with some disregard on UN resolutions, and I can understand very well the Arab frustration that has been so deep with the UN.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And Israel has powerful friends. The United States holds a veto in the Security Council, and since the 1970s, it's used it 42 times to stop resolutions critical of Israel. Israel points out that its citizens remain the targets of suicide bombers and missiles, while the country's defenders accuse the UN of bias. They point to the Human Rights Council as proof. The Council, whose recommendations are non-binding, passed 19 resolutions condemning Israel between 2006 and 2008.
It says to me that the United Nations is only a reflection of the hypocrisy, of the double, triple standard that's out there. It sometimes tells me that there's still plenty of anti-Semitism out there.
Human Rights Watch agrees there is bias at the UN, but says it goes both ways.
There are red lines that all parties to an armed conflict have to abide by, and both parties in this case have been flaunting them, you know, consistently.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has been very careful to avoid any appearance of bias. He's offered only restrained criticism of Israel, right alongside criticism of Hamas. It's an approach that's less likely to offend, but one that's yielded little in the way of results when it comes to Middle East peace.
Despite the Israeli offensive in Gaza, rockets are still being fired into southern Israel. Jackie Rowland has been to a town where residents were put on alert after reports of a missile heading their way.
Red alert in the town of Sderot. People run for cover. A rocket has been fired from Gaza, and within 15 seconds it will land. We're all bundled into a bomb shelter, along with some important visitors from the United States. The mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, is in town. He's here to be photographed, showing solidarity with the people of Sderot. When it comes to the people of Gaza, however, he sounds less sympathetic.
Mayor Bloomberg, what do you think about the dozens of Palestinian civilians killed in Gaza?
I think it's a disgrace, and you should talk to Hamas. They're putting their own people at risk, and it's an outrage. If Hamas would focus on building a country rather than destroying another one, those people wouldn't get injured and wouldn't get killed.
Sderot is only a couple of kilometers from the Gaza border, and it's been in the firing line for several years. Today, a rocket landed in this street, blowing away the back wall of a house. The people living next door are Russian Jews who only moved to Israel 3 years ago. When we heard the sirens, we were scared, Zoya tells me. We prayed to God that it would not hit us. It landed in the backyard. A rocket-proof bunker acts as a classroom for these children. The casualty figures in Sderot have been low compared to the number of people killed and injured in Gaza. But the attacks spread terror and panic, and that's why the Israeli public demanded action.
This is the Qassam rocket that landed on that house where we were a short while ago. Just one rocket among the many thousands that have landed in and around Sderot over the past 7 years. And it's this constant barrage of rockets that the Israeli government is using as its justification for the attacks on Gaza.
The Israeli citizens here have been under the constant threat of those rockets and have been running to the shelters, taking their safety into account within 15 seconds. That's what it is. 15 seconds is the difference between life and death here. The situation has been continuing for a long, long time, and we're working close with the public in order to maintain their safety.
What has happened in this small town has become the trigger for a war that's already killed hundreds of Palestinians. But the people of Sderot don't accept arguments about proportionality. They want the army to use all its force to stop the rockets once and for all. Jackie Rowland, Al Jazeera, Sderot.
Says its military offensive is aimed solely at Hamas. But with the growing death toll in Gaza, how strong is the support for the group? Al Jazeera has been gauging reaction on the streets of Gaza.
I think victory will come very soon. I'm not afraid of war, nor death. We only die once. We got used to war, and by God's will, we will achieve victory.
No, we are not scared at all. We do expect the worst, but what God wants will happen. Our weapon is our faith, which is facing their weapons of jets and tanks.
We are not the occupiers, Israelis. All of this is an aid of Israel's security, whilst the Arab countries are keeping silent. Moreover, they recognize Israel. Is recognizing Israel the only way to have a normal life, to get food and live normally?
May God bless our fighters. We pray to God to be at their side and help them to win.
I swear to God that we are not scared because God is standing by our side, and if we die, we'll be martyrs. I can hit the soldiers with anything, even with the household items.
If a dog died in this very ugly way in any other country, the entire world would object and offer help. Our children are being killed and we starve under the blockade. We suffer war, blockade and starvation, and Arabs are watching.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org, Sunday Papers, news service. Stay tuned.
As we stand on the shoulders of mountains, meditating on the makers of everything counted, and can't move, what is this freedom that's founded? Nature is lost and families drowned by thousands. Cash rules, little fish in shallow men's mind make big splashes, while thoughts like oceanic whales cross eyelids. Little men lie and they lost the god science. Decapitate others so they can look like giants. Surprise, a divine art form, beats and rhyming, and gods like Krishna's flutes, tuned to remind us, heal blindness. Let the works be born and give Caesar what is Caesar's. Think back what's yours, and that's water and fire and earth, air with price tags, water and fire and earth. They didn't make that water and fire and earth. They don't control that water and fire and earth. We let them hold that, our birthright's first. They can't control that, water is birthright first. They cannot own that, air is birthright first. They can't control that, freedom of space, I want freedom of space. In the beginning was the Om, sing along, I and I. Let there be fire, let there be light, let there be earth and life within waters. Why I gotta turn around and pay you for it? I can't ignore it cause we slung by traps. Pretty soon they'll be charging us a sunrise tax. Black air gets thicker and thicker from raw greed. We don't need weed and liquor, now we just breathe. And the oil is earth's blood, so you own that as thieves. While the rulers and the rich celebrate, we all bleed. Pierced through the shadows of invisible schemes. And we want our tomorrows right now by all means. Over
water and fire and earth, air with price tags. Water and fire and earth, they didn't know that. Water and fire and earth, they don't control that. Water and fire and earth, how could they hold that? Water and fire and earth, air with price tags. Water and fire and earth, how did they own that? Water and fire and earth, they didn't make that. Yo, get your birthright back, come on.
Freedom of space, freedom of space. Why can't I be free? Freedom of space, not speech. Give me my freedom of space. Why can't I be free? And you ain't mad yet. They use your money for wars. And you ain't mad yet. People getting more poor. And you ain't mad yet. It's best you get pissed off. I'm warning you now. It's about to jump off. And you ain't mad yet. They use your money for wars. And you ain't mad yet. People getting more poor. And you ain't mad yet. It's best you get pissed off. I'm warning you now. It's about to jump off. All over water and fire and earth. Air with price tags. Water and fire and earth. They didn't make that. Water and fire and earth. We let them hold that. F***ing with our birthrights. Give me my soul back.
I was watching a documentary that I got from overseas, and it showed this bombed out rubble and a little boy running through it being chased by this soldier with a big AK-47. The kid was running and running, and after a while he just got fed up with it and turned around, he picked up a rock, and you could almost hear the kid say, Allahu Akbar, which means God is great. And the soldier froze and pointed his gun at the kid's chest, but he couldn't shoot. And he turned around and he started to run. And here was this little 9-year-old boy with a rock in his hand, chasing a soldier with a gun, chasing him from the way they had come. And it brought tears to my eyes, because that's the courage we need. We need to learn from these things. But I'm saying that that shit is deep. People are willing to spill their own blood so that their future generations can live without oppression.